We're going to take a look this morning at disabilities. And when I thought early on about the term of disabilities, what are disabilities? Even walking into this room and seeing some of the photos, are those people really disabled? Not really. Maybe in the eyes of the world they're not up to standard, but I don't see them as disabled. I broke up the area of disabilities into three, and I'd like to talk this morning and have a look at how Jesus ministered to people under stress, people who were struggling with stress, and then people who were suffering under physical hardship, and lastly, just to have a look at people struggling with cultural differences. Take a look firstly with me to the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to look at a verse there in chapter 4. Starting from verse 16, speaking of Jesus, he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he'd opened the book and he found the place where it was written, he spoke and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recover the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." I'll just finish there. That's a key verse, really, for the whole weekend. Yesterday we spoke about people being the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here we find, and this was after he'd met the woman in Samaria, he returned into Galilee, and the first thing he did, he went to the synagogue and he stood in front of the religious leaders and all the people and he stood and declared his ministry. And this simple verse is all that was involved in his ministry. And every one of those areas it involved, people. Have a look with me, just keep your hand in this place. Just turn over to John chapter 20. This was a public announcement declaring his ministry. Now in John chapter 20, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, but not really to his disciples alone. He's speaking to us as his disciples. John chapter 20, and in verse 21, Jesus said to them, "Peace be unto you. This is what I'm looking for. As my Father has sent me, so have I sent you." So if this was the public declaration of his ministry, then the two go together. This was his ministry. Look back now in Luke chapter 4 verse 18. To preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance, to recover of sight, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That's the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to look at a few of those things today. But I want us to realise that this is Jesus' ministry, and now it's our ministry. This is your ministry, and this is my ministry. The first area we're going to look at is how Jesus ministered to those who were hindered by mental stress. Turn over in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, it's just a few verses there, starting at verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Ask her then to come and help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." I wonder whether you ever have days like that. I have a few days like that. Actually, almost every day is like that. I wonder whether you have days when you wake up and from the very word go, nothing seems to go right. You seem to be pushing the kids to get to school, you can't find the keys for the car, and things can just begin to get on top of each other. Mondays are often a day like that for me. Monday's a very busy day for me, and I get the Monday blues. And I remember a few weeks ago, I'd had a very busy Monday. Marty goes to uni on a Monday, and I have to take Benjamin, who's our 10-year-old son, to piano lessons, which means that he has a car, so I have to go and find a car that I can borrow. So this day I was going around asking people, and I really hate asking people to borrow their cars. You know why? Because I like to be independent. And I don't like to have to depend on anyone else. And I found a car and I was able to take him to piano, and as we were driving along, it was just after that really wet day, the 10-day slot where it had been raining every day, I'd spent the whole day in front of the dryer. But that wasn't enough. The dryer broke down. So finally I got my washing all dried, got that out of the way. Good, the kids are home. Just wait here, kids. I've just got to race Benjamin to piano. All right, I won't be long. Blah, blah, blah. Off we went. So we're driving along and Ben said to me, "Mum, what did my teacher say at the interview today?" I just went, "Oh, Benny, I'm sorry. I didn't mean, I just forgot." Oh, he said, "Oh, it doesn't matter. But Gina, I was so mad that I forgot that meeting." And I came home and I began to feel that little sinking feeling. Have you ever felt that sinking feeling where you're just going to go down? And I started to get stressed out. When I get stressed out, I get mad. Doesn't matter who's around, but I just get angry. I just lose control and the flesh takes power. And I called in to give the keys to my friend. And her little boy called out, "Honey Belle." And I said, "Yes, lovely." He said, "Car door." And I said to Rachel, I said, "Man, I'm broken." I said, "You know, I came in here with a real sinking feeling, stressed out to the max. And this little boy, 2 years old, could just minister to me. But not the boy really, was it, ladies? It was the Lord, through someone else, really ministering to me." Ladies, I can relate to Martha. I praise God for this portion of Scripture. Sometimes I think we look at Martha and think, well, she's the carnal one and Mary's the spiritual one. Martha's the bad egg and Mary's the good one. She's the black sheep, she's the white one. I don't know. You know, I glean a lot of encouragement, yes, from Mary, but I glean a lot of encouragement from Martha. You know what comes with old age, ladies? No, it's not glasses and false teeth. I've got the glasses and I get the false teeth next month. But it's not them. It's responsibility. As mums, isn't that what we're trying to train our children? Little by little, darling, this is your responsibility, this is your room. We're training our kids to begin to take on responsibility as they get older. I believe it was Martha who was the older person. I don't know whether I'm theologically correct in that assumption, but I really do believe she was. It seems that Mary took the responsibility. She carried the weight of who was coming for dinner. Oh, just the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder how each of us feel when we're having people for dinner. Oh, I think we could tell some funny stories. What sort of things the kids get up to when you have visitors and think, "Oh, this little darling, where do I go?" And they say the worst things when people are there. They're always extra naughty. They always ask for lollies when we've got visitors, when they know very well they're not to have lollies at tea. Ladies, when I have to prepare dinner for someone, yeah, man, I get stressed out. And this is what happens in our family. I want the house to be real clean. I want everything to be clean. I want the dinner to be nice and cooked. I want it to be hot. I want you to be home on time, Marty, or else. And you kids, get in here, line up. Now I'm going to give you the drum. We're having the principal and his wife for tea, and I'll tell you what, kids, if one of you is rude or cheeky or doesn't have good manners, when they go, you're going to get into big trouble. And we put ourselves under so much stress. It is a stressful situation when you're having people into your home. When they come, you try and be so relaxed. Oh, no trouble. And you're exhausted. You can't wait for them to go home so you can just crash out. And Martha was expecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Please don't look hard on Martha. She received the Lord Jesus Christ into her house. It was Martha who received him. But ladies, you know what happens when we get stressed out and things get too much? We're all right if we've got a little bit of things to do. But if there's extra few things come along that we never expected, we start to think, how come I'm doing all the work around here? And then we start to think, Lord, don't you know that I've already had to do this and this and this and this? And we begin to question, Lord, don't you care? Isn't that what Martha said? Lord, don't you care that I'm the one that's running around here and Mary's just sitting there? But what I wanted to look at today, because you see, we all relate to that. We know it. I know when you laugh that you do that too. We relate to Martha. And ladies, there are a lot of us today who are struggling with stress. It's a very popular term, isn't it? I'm stressed out. That's the norm. Or go to classes and find out how to cope with your stress. And I tell you, ladies, in this very short, small portion, there's the answer for the stress. And if you recognise someone, maybe in your church, someone at home who's struggling with mental stress, look how the Lord Jesus ministered. He said, Martha, Martha. Can you hear how he would have spoken to her? Martha, Martha. Do you know when you're doing your little study, and I know you'll do it, highlight portions where Jesus speaks to people. And in particular, how he speaks to us as women. Do you know, Mary Magdalene was an exceptional example to us. She was last at the grave and first there in the morning. Even before the sun had risen, she was there. And when she was despaired because she couldn't find his body, she turned to the angels. She said, I can't find him. She turns and she's sobbing uncontrollably. And she sees this man. She thinks he's the gardener. And she says, Lord, if you've taken him, just show me where he is and I'll go and get him. I mean, think of it. How on earth could she carry the body? You know how heavy a body is. There was no way she could have ever done it. But she just wanted him. And he turned and said, Mary. What tender, tender, beautiful words. Mary. She hadn't recognised him. Mary was under mental stress. And when the Lord Jesus turned to Martha, he said, Martha, Martha. Do you know, when I'm stressed out at home and Marty tries to help me, our husbands do try to help, don't they? But it doesn't really help when they say, look, Ben Ingham, love, I don't know what's going on with you. Why do you get so stressed out just because people are coming over? They just don't understand. I mean, how do they expect us to understand? Well, I don't know why I'm so stressed out, I just am. But there are times when Marty's been able to say, Val, you really can't turn away, can you? It just gravitates that response. It's funny how we use names. When I talk to Marty, it's Marty. Marty, duh, Marty. But if there's a little bit of trouble, Martin. And the name changes. And my husband's very sensitive. And when he hears me say Martin, he knows business. Yes, Val? No. But the name, it means a lot. He said, Martha, Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things. You know what he said to Martha? Martha, don't worry. I know what you're going through. Ladies, I take such encouragement from the book of Hebrews because we're presented with that wonderful great high priest who suffered everything you will ever have to suffer, yet has never suffered sin, has never fallen to sin. You know, as a young mum, and I had lots of little kids seem to be all at the same time, my father said to Marty when we were getting married, he said, listen, Marty, just keep a bare foot and pregnant, mate, and you'll be right. And I think in many years I felt a little bit that way. I felt, look, am I the pregnant or I'm feeding and your body's all in turmoil, you don't get a full night's sleep. Can you relate to that, ladies? Do you know, once I can remember thinking I'm the only one. And I remember in the wee hours of the morning sitting and feeding my baby and looking out, and I began to see lights on in other homes. And I started to pray for women who were struggling under the mental stress of young children. Because it's a stress. And you know, when I was introduced to this wonderful great high priest, I wondered, I thought, Lord, can you understand how stressed I feel? And God in his grace showed me that Jesus had grown up in a home. He knew because Mary had other children. He was there with his mother when she would have nursed her kids through the night. Of course he knows what you go through. And that's how he ministers to us when we're under stress. Yes, I do know what you're going through. He said to Martha, I understand. And then he gives us such a simple solution to stress. Mary has chosen that part, Martha. Keep your eyes on me. When we think, what happens? We start to begin to look at our situation and we go down. But Jesus encouraged Martha, keep your eyes on me. Look at that lad climbing that rope in that photo there. Struggling to get, moving on, climbing on. Aren't we doing that in our pilgrimage? Just moving on. You know, that boy's going to make it. You know why? Because he's got his eyes ahead. If we are to perform and to function in our ministries in the battle, we must keep our eyes on the Saviour. Now, we often sing that beautiful chorus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And if we know people who are struggling under mental stress, don't just tell them, look, snap out of it. But get beside them and turn their eyes to the Saviour. And that, ladies, in one small solution is the answer to stress. Jesus ministered in compassion to Martha, and I believe that's how he spoke to her. We've talked about compassion a bit this weekend. I looked up the word compassion, and it means deep sympathy, understanding the sorrow or trouble of another with the great urge to help. Barbara Johnson has ministered to many people through her books. Put your hand up if you're a Barbara Johnson fan. Yeah, if you haven't read her books and you're struggling with depression or stress, and you read Barbara Johnson books because she just has a beautiful ministry in being able to encourage people. She started what's called a bachelor ministry in the States. And do you know, as ministers of the gospel, remember Luke 4:18? We're bachelor ministry people. We're scraping people off the floor and off the ceiling. That's our ministry. There are many women struggling with the stress of young children, of a home, of finance, of living. And they need us to encourage them. Barbara Johnson has what she calls a little happy box. And if she finds anything or something that makes her smile, she puts that away and she keeps it. And then she shares it with others. Ladies, start your happy box and share it with someone you think is struggling under mental stress. Turn their eyes back to that beautiful Saviour we have. What about those crippled under physical hardship? You know, there were many incidences in the Gospels where we could look at where Jesus really ministered to people who were hindered or crippled or disabled through physical hardship. But I've chosen the portion concerning the Good Samaritan. You could turn with me. It's just over the page in Luke 10. We'll start at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted the Lord and said, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what's written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbour as yourself. And he said unto him, you have said right. Do this then, and you shall live. But the man, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbour? And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him, wounded him, and left him half dead. And then by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Ladies, that's a very beautiful picture of someone we know, isn't it? The Good Samaritan. It's the Lord Jesus, isn't it? What a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. This Good Samaritan ministered in compassion. You know, the prodigal son's father, when he saw his son afar off, the Bible said he had compassion on him. Compassion. Able to understand and feel for the trouble of someone else with the urge to help. A deep, deep sympathy. We had a holiday last year. We went up to Budgerywoy. First of all, we had 5 days with our teenage son and his girlfriend, and that wasn't very much of a holiday because we were 6 of us in this very little shed. But after that, we had 10 days just with the 4 little children in a high-blocked home, and it was provided to us from some Christian friends. It was their holiday house. It was lovely. But during our holiday, we had some friends from Sydney come down and visit us, and we'd had tea. And the two girls decided they would have their bath. Now, there was something wrong with the hot water system. We could never work it out. You had to really go by faith to have your shower and figure out whether you're going to get a hot one or a cold one, depending on how the hot water system was feeling at that time. And at this time, the bath was cold. It was freezing cold. The girls had got in. There was no hot water in the tap. So they got out and they called out. Marty said, "Look, it's all right. I'll bring some in." And he went in with the kettle and slipped on these tiles and poured the boiling water down our little girl. She was 6. And you really feel compassion for someone you love. But what about those that we don't love? That was hard for me. And being so young, she really struggled with it, physically and emotionally. And as we... You know, you really don't understand how bad burns are because they continue to burn. If you've ever had any experience with them, Marty was good. He didn't panic. He thought really quickly. He put her straight to the shower with the cold water straight on her. I was in the kitchen. I just heard a scream and I ran in and I couldn't figure what had happened. I thought perhaps she'd turned the hot on herself. And I put the towel around her and took her out and comforted her, gave her some arnica drops, and then we took her to the bedroom and the burn began to really come out. It had got her down here and down the chest here. And it was really hot. It was burning hot. And she said to me, "Mummy, I want to go home." She said, I don't want this to happen to me. Oh, it was so hard for me to hear that. I wanted so much to take it away. I wanted to stop it, but I couldn't. I guess God had given me a real picture of compassion. We used all our ice and we tried to get the burn out. We ran out of ice. And I took this little ice cream container and I went from house to the next door. And unfortunately in Budgerywoy, everybody's got a holiday house. And the guy next door didn't have any ice because he was just coming for the weekend. And the same story with the people next door to him. I had to come there, knock. I must have looked so silly. I tried to explain, "Have you got any ice? Blah, 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 blah." "No, fine. Next door, next door." And I got to the third house and I knocked on the door and they opened it and I stood there and I just burst into tears. And I thought later what those poor people must have thought, probably some poor Salvation Army girl, you know, destitute or something. They were lovely people, folks. They were very compassionate. It was late at night, they came down and they spent the next few days just coming down and visiting us. They were a real blessing. This man had been beaten, he'd been stripped, he'd been left there to die. Ladies, I wonder if we can enter into what that man experienced, just to be laying there half dead. And maybe in his unconsciousness he might have looked up and saw the priest. Oh, thank goodness it's the priest, a man of God. And he just walks by and he just pretends he didn't see him. And maybe he gets a glimmer of hope because he sees the man of the Levite. I mean, the tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe, should surely this guy will help me. And he sees the man and he just walks by. But the Samaritan, who is his enemy, looks to him, goes straight to him, doesn't take a thought, he's filled with compassion. Do you know, I think the Samaritan man put himself in that man's place. And when you're ministering to people, whether it's under mental stress or they're struggling with physical hardships, try and put yourself in their position. Try and put yourself in their situation and try and understand what they're going through. And it was that man's enemy that ministered to him. You know, sometimes we're busy, aren't we? You hear that said a lot. Not just Christian people either. Many of us are busy. But ladies, my prayer is, please, Lord, never let me be too busy. I dread it when I hear myself saying to my kids, look, I can't do that now, I'm busy. And God reminds me, Val, please don't ever be too busy for your kids. And please don't be too busy for people that are hurting. People that are struggling with mental stress or physical hardship. In verse 37, Jesus said to that young lawyer, now you go and do likewise. And I pray that if God brings to our attention, if we see, I pray that we won't just ignore and just simply pass on by. But that will give. You know, the Samaritan man, he just simply gave of himself. Some of us may think we haven't got much to give people, but time is a very, very valuable gift to some. Just to sit and listen. You know, we all want someone to talk to. When we're struggling, isn't it? You just want your mum. Or you just want that special friend. Even just giving your time to someone can be so much blessing. What about those under cultural differences? You know, disabilities really originated in the garden. Before that, there was never any disabilities. But there was something else that originated in the garden, and that was racism. And you know, racism is, according to the Collins Dictionary, the claim of superiority of some one race. Adolf Hitler was an extreme racist, so much so that he set about to exterminate, to produce his perfect race of people. I wonder whether you've ever considered yourself as being racist. Do you know the flesh is racist? Do you know that natural man within us is racist? Because we are biased. Elizabeth Bryant brought our attention to that on the very first night. We see things through our own eyes, with our own opinions, with our own biases. And it's really hard for us to begin to look beyond our own. And when you're dealing with culture, that is the first thing that you must learn. You know, some months ago when we had quite a few boat people coming and landing on our coast, just within my own heart I thought, oh look, I think it's disgusting. I don't know why they just don't stay where they are. And our 10-year-old boy came to me and he said, Mum, it's not fair for those people just to come on over here. Why don't they just stay where they came from? You know, God gave me just compassion at that time, and I said, Ben, I wonder if you were born in a country under extreme poverty, if you were born in a country where there was no freedom, if you were born in a country where there is extreme persecution, and someone came to you with a little glimmer of hope of living somewhere where there was freedom, where there was opportunity, where there was some hope, I wonder what you'd do, Benny. And he couldn't answer, do you know, and I couldn't answer. But truthfully, honestly, if it was my situation, I reckon I'd be on that boat too. But we see things from our own point of view. In our minds, this is our country. And I don't want to take up the issue of immigration. But this is God's world. And we're all God's people. The thing that We have to share. We have to take teams of people overseas to help out missionaries. And one of the most important things we do in there, we give them a week of training before we take them out, is to try and share with them what is culture shock. For perhaps many of us, we've never really suffered what's called culture shock because we tend to gravitate toward our own. But more and more, I believe as a church, we are going to have to face the fact of cultural shock within our church. I wonder if you can think in your church how many cultures there are in your individual church. At Parramatta, I think we have 4 or 5. And in fact, we have a Korean group that meets in our church, and we did also have a Samoan group that met in our church. So within the church today, we are having many diverse cultures in our church, and it's very, very important for us to begin to see how Christ saw people of different cultures. You know who I believe is culturally disabled? It's not someone who's different from me. It's the person who fails to accept someone from a different culture. That's the person that's culturally disabled, not the person who's different. You know, different isn't always wrong. We have a different way from other people. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Again, and this is after Jesus declared what his ministry would be. And if we read from verse 20, Jesus closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Boy, I reckon they got a shot. And he began to say to them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And he gave them witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they all said, "Man, isn't this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "You will surely say unto me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do it here in this country.'" And he said, "Truly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you now a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout the land, but to none of them went Elijah, save to the woman of Sidon. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all of them, every one of them in that synagogue, when they heard those things, were filled with wrath." And if you read on, they were so angry and wrathful at what they'd heard, they pushed Jesus out and were going to throw him over the cliff. The Jews were a proud people, and they were proud of the fact that God had chosen them. They were the chosen race. But if you go back to the time when God spoke to Abraham, Israel was chosen to bless all other nations. Sure, God chose Israel, but he chose Israel in order to reach all other nations. And the Jews were a very, very proud people. And this lady is an excellent picture of our flesh. Within our flesh, there is no good thing. We are racist in our flesh. And when we're presented with other cultures, sometimes unconsciously, we build up barriers or we think to ourselves, that's wrong. Without saying it, we feel it. If you eat with a certain group of people and they begin to eat like that, what would we do if our kids ate like that? My word, that's very bad manners. But in some cultures, that's not bad manners. You've all seen the movie of Ben-Hur with the Arabian horseman, and they've had dinner and they're sitting there and the big fellow belches and he looks to Charlton Heston, I forget, Ben-Hur or whatever his name is. "Oh," he said, "did you not enjoy your meal?" Oh, good, happy, happy. Now for us, if my kids burped at the table in front of my bed, and it's happened, and it's a really forced one, and I couldn't help it. It's different, isn't it? But not necessarily wrong. Ladies, I want to encourage us, I think especially in our church situation and in our outreach, have an understanding and have a compassion for people of other cultures. Do not prejudge them according to your own biases, your own background or your own opinions. It's an interesting study to study other cultures. And if you have a group of people that are in your area, when we were ministering at Lansdale, we had a lot of Vietnamese people there. And we had to begin to get an understanding of these people. We just couldn't work it out. We'd go to their homes, we'd say, please, would you like to come to church? Oh, yes, single, yes, yes, we'd love, yes. And they always said yes, but they never came. We couldn't work it out. So we looked into it, and asking them once just was not enough in their culture. It just meant to them that we weren't serious, that we were just being polite, and that we didn't really want them to come anyway. We had to go there 3 times for them to really appreciate that we were serious. And sometimes when you're talking to people of another culture and they're saying, yes, 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 but they honestly, they don't understand a word you're saying. So we need to be careful. It's a big area, cross-cultural communication. And we can put up barriers unconsciously by what we say, by our reaction to them, by simply our body language. In one of our drama sessions at college, I gave the students a simple phrase and I asked them to come out and they had to communicate to the rest of the class that phrase without the words. They just had to say it with their body, with their face. And one of them was given to a Korean girl and she had to say, come here. And she stood up there and she was going, and we were all wondering, and I didn't even know, I thought, I'm sure I didn't have Pat the dog. And we couldn't work it out. And we said, what was it? She said, it was come here. You see, in her culture, it's very rude to put your palm up like that. For them, it's like this. Come here. But for that, it was very rude. Was it wrong? No, it was different. I thought that was valuable, really valuable, because I learnt something that day. You know, as Aussies, we're really upfront, aren't we? You know, if we're angry, that's it, I don't mind, I'm just going to tell you about it. If we're happy, that's okay, you'll know about it. And we voice our feelings. No problem. But to many cultures, that's very, very shameful. To express yourself like that is just very, very low. And even in the way that we greet each other, isn't it? Hello, how are you? Good. We all say it. That's our form of greeting. But what if someone was to come and say, hello, how much money do you earn? Oh, goodness. We'd be shocked. How rude. Well, hello, how are you? How old are you? Never ask a woman how old she is. Different isn't always necessarily wrong. You know, Jesus ministered to people from other cultures, even when he came. And he came to proclaim to the nation the coming of the Messiah. And the nation of Israel rejected him as the Messiah. And you know, there are a couple of instances where he speaks to people from other cultures. A Canaan woman and also a soldier. And his words were, I have never found so great a faith in all of Israel. And Israel was the race that God had chosen. And yet Jesus found more faith in the other cultures than he did within the Israelites. If you have people from different cultures that you're reaching out to or in your church, then look to get an understanding of how they think, how they behave, some of their reactions. Learn about what things are contrary to them in their culture and seek to reach out to them within their culture. You know, Jesus ministered to those people under stress with compassion. He ministered to people under physical hardship in compassion. And he ministered to people from other cultures in compassion. May the God of all glory give us that compassion for everyone that he brings across our path.